At that time, Jesus passed through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick and eat some heads of grain. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "See, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those who were with him were hungry? How he entered the house of God and they ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him or for those with him to eat, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple violated the Sabbath and are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Moving on from there, he entered into their synagogue. There he saw a man who had a shriveled arm, and in order to accuse him, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He replied to them, "Who among you, if you had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't take hold of it and lift it out? A person is worth far more than a sheep. So it is lawful to do what is good on the Sabbath." Then he told the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was restored as good as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might kill him.
Our Father God, we thank you for your word. For your word is truth. We thank you for Sandra reading it to us, and we ask now that we might hear you speak to us as we look at these words together. As we've broken from our practice over the summer, let me just remind you as we come back to our more regular Sunday evenings that we're simply walking through the gospel so that we might meet Jesus. The hope being that any Sunday evening that someone brings a friend or someone comes in from outside, we might be saying, "Look, this is the Lord Jesus." There is no greater job that we have in Christian service than to share the Lord Jesus with other people. And so I hope that that simple practice might prove effective for the gospel. Look at the Lord Jesus you meet here in this passage. In verse 6, "I tell you, something greater than the temple is here." I would never dream of depersonalizing the Lord Jesus except in reading this verse when he does it himself, about himself, to make them think, to gently hide the truth while revealing it to them. For of course, he's not speaking of something else. He has not brought a greater temple with him. The idea that Nehemiah's temple was not the same as Solomon's, or perhaps even to suggest that Herod's temple was not good enough and something greater could be made, even though Herod's temple was huge and ornate and all the rest of it. He's not brought another temple. He came himself. This is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God in heaven. And he has come in human form. He's limited himself. He's taken on flesh that he might reveal himself to us. And so it is great joy to look at this text and to see what the Lord Jesus is saying and to listen to his teaching. For you do get to know someone very well if you listen to their teaching, to listen what they think is important for us to know. That's how you know the measure of a teacher, isn't it? What is it they really want to pass on? When time's tight, when you've only got a moment to interact with somebody, and they say, "Well, look, let's just cut to the chase. What matters?" Well, this was something that mattered to the Lord Jesus, that he would have us know. And he took the time to tell us. One great subject in these 14, 15 verses is that of the Sabbath day. Our Sunday, of course, their Saturday back then. And we need to be mindful that there were some very strange views amongst the Jews of Jesus' day. The Pharisees had added much to the teaching of Scripture about the Sabbath, and they'd overlaid the true character of the day with many traditions of men. I was reading in the news today that communities of, I think broadly, let me call them Hasidic Jews, although I think there are more broad groups than that, different groups than that, in Brooklyn, have started to complain because of tour companies who take buses to drive through the Jewish parts of town so that people can see their different way of life. And quite frankly, and I think quite rightly in my opinion, they've had enough of tourists going with their cameras down the side of the bus, taking photographs of them, going about their daily lives in their different forms of dress and so on. The Lord Jesus was challenging some of those different forms of dress and tradition that had been added on top of what God had given in Scripture. This side of the cross, of course, there have also been diverse opinions in the church about what you can and can't do on a Sunday. Even today, vast differences exist from church to church and from Christian to Christian. Dress codes you will still find in some churches on a Sunday. Certain things that you should and should not do on a Sunday. You come to our house and I get very upset if there's laundry on the line on a Sunday. I don't know why, because I never really do the laundry. but for whatever reason, it bugs me. You know, that gets me. Now, where has that come from in my past? Because there are days when you need to do the laundry on a Sunday. If somebody needs something for Monday, you know, if somebody's just fallen in a river or something, you know, that stuff needs to get dry. You can't leave it in a heap. But, you know, there are different traditions and they catch the people in different ways. So what can we learn about the Sabbath from our Lord's teaching? Because that's where we need to look. We need to look past the traditions. We need to see past the traditions of that day that Jesus challenged and our traditions today and see his teaching. So see his teaching. So let's, in the first place, settle in our minds, without a shadow of a doubt, our Lord Jesus Christ does not do away with the observance of a weekly Sabbath, a day of rest. Not here or anywhere else in the four Gospels. He often talked about the errors he encountered on the subject of the Sabbath, but there is no word anywhere that tells his disciples not to keep it, that they can do away with it. It's vital we recognize this. The mistakes that have arisen down the ages in the church from a superficial consideration of the Lord Jesus and what he taught about the Sabbath are not small and they're not few. They've made a right mess of things along the way in the life of the church from time to time. Thousands have rushed to hasty conclusions. That Christians don't need to keep the fourth commandment, because that's what this is. The fourth commandment is to have that separate day. And the challenge that when you start saying, I don't need to keep the fourth commandment, well, somebody might then say, well, if I don't need to keep the fourth, do I need to keep the eighth and the ninth and the tenth? And we start to unpick. There is danger down that road. My friends, there is nothing in the New Testament to justify any such conclusion as that. The plain truth is, our Lord did not abolish a weekly day of rest. He only freed us from the incorrect interpretations of it. He purified it, if you like, from man-made additions. He did not tear it out of the Ten Commandments. He stripped off the miserable traditions that had been encrusted on it. Have you ever seen a boat lifted out of the water after a season in salt water with all the barnacles and the mold and all of that stuck on the bottom? Well, quite frankly, there was a lot of stuff stuck on that needed to be cleaned off. It had become was a burden of a challenge. You know, the phrase, a Sabbath day's journey. It was limited how far you were allowed to walk to see somebody on the Sabbath day. That's where the phrase comes from. You mustn't walk too far because you're doing work. Well, there is no definition of a Sabbath day's journey. That was a man-made addition, a burden, a challenge. So the Lord Jesus, if you like, put the fourth commandment back where he found it as part of the eternal law of God, so that it wouldn't pass away, so that we could see it clearly for what it is. May we never forget that. My friends, we need a Sabbath day of rest. You need it. I need it. We need it together. And if we don't keep it, we pay for it. A number of societies in the course of human history have tried to run different orders, you know, 10-day weeks, 3-day weeks, 5-day weeks, various things have been tried. There is not any other period of time that works for humanity than a 7-day cycle. We need it. God gave it to us in creation. So let us then, in the second place, fix in our minds that the Lord Jesus Christ allows all works of real need and mercy to be done on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus allows all works of need and mercy to be done on the Sabbath day. That's the way this reads. This is a principle that is well established in the scriptures we're looking at, but in many other places, the Lord Jesus shows us how he justifies it here. He justifies the disciples for plucking the ears of the corn on the Sabbath. In other words, and because the Lord Jesus wasn't bending the rules, he was only showing us how we should read and understand his rules, because it is his word that is given to us. It was permitted by the scriptures. Despite the Pharisees saying it wasn't, in Deuteronomy 23:25, they were hungry and in need of food. Therefore, there was no blame. It was right and proper for them to eat. We find the Lord Jesus maintaining the lawfulness of healing a sick man on the Sabbath. The man was suffering from disease and in pain. It's been speculated that this man had his hand crushed as in building work or something like that, and therefore had lost his livelihood as well. We may not be sure about that, but certainly without a hand, he would not have been able to work in the way that others do. He was in pain. He was in need. It is in no way a breach of God's commandment to give relief from pain and suffering on the Lord's day. We should never stop doing good. That's the scriptural command, isn't it? We ought never rest from doing good. Nurses should nurse, and fires should be put out on the Sabbath. And the arguments by which our Lord supports the lawfulness of any work of necessity or mercy on the Sabbath are striking, and you just can't answer them. You see, he reminds the Pharisees, who charged him with breaking the law and the disciples with breaking the law, that David and his men, for lack of food, didn't pluck grain. They went into the very tabernacle and ate the bread of the presence off the altar. This bread which was reserved, which no one should eat. And the Lord Jesus reminds them that the law itself exonerated the priests from their work on the Sabbath day. If a priest in the Old Testament law was serving the Lord in the temple, doing the sacrifice on behalf of the people, interceding with God, he was working. It was difficult. That was his day of work. By Jesus' day, it was a few weeks of service when he would come up to the temple and serve the Lord. It was their work. The law itself says they're not guilty. Jesus reminds them how even a sheep would have been helped out of the pit. In fact, all of them would have done. And we know the Lord Jesus knows the minds of these men. They would not have let a sheep die in a pit on the Sabbath. There was good money in that sheep as far as they were concerned. That was part of their profit. And anyone who's had any responsibility of the land and knows that livestock need to be cared for on a Sunday. And my first job, hold it against me if you will, my first job was relief milker. And at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning, I would be walking across the fields to milk the cows, and again at 3 in the afternoon. And I saw it as a right and a proper thing. So the Lord Jesus lays down a great principle. No law of God is to be pressed so far as to make us neglect the plain duties of charity. And he quotes the Old Testament and God in the prophets saying, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." We cannot use the first part of the Ten Commandments to break the second. We've really made a huge mistake at that point, haven't we? We cannot justify being unkind or unmerciful to a neighbor, whoever that may be, by saying, "Oh, it's the Sabbath, I don't do that." You haven't won a friend that way. You haven't demonstrated the Lord Jesus that way. So from time to time, we will have to work out some tough things, and you and I will come to a different decision, and I will choose to do something, and you will say, I wouldn't have done that, and I will say, I wouldn't have done that, and you will say, well, I did. And that's okay, because every situation is different. It is not possible to say there are no circumstances at all that you should shop or trade on a Sunday, for instance. We need to be reminded that the Lord Jesus speaks real world hard truths rather than simple laws. So in leaving the subject, let's beware that we're never tempted to take low views of the Christian Sabbath, our Sunday. Let's take care that we don't make our gracious Lord's teaching an excuse for Sabbath profanity, if you like, taking a liberty. Let us not abuse the liberty which the Lord Jesus has clearly marked out for us, and pretend that we do things on the Sabbath from necessity and mercy, which in reality we're just doing for our own selfish gain. That would be to go too far in the other direction. Jesus didn't make warnings to people on that point because the mistakes of the Pharisees were in the other direction. They were heaping up extra rules. The mistake of many Christians today is the other direction, to be too liberal, if you will. The Pharisees pretended to add to the holiness of the day. The Christian is arguably too often disposed to take away from that holiness and to keep an idle, irreverent day. Well, we need to watch our conduct on this subject. I think saving Christianity is closely bound up with Sabbath observance. If we do not care enough about the Lord to set aside a day for him, will we care enough to tell others about him on the other 6 days of the week? There's something in that, I think. I certainly think our neighbours notice when we keep our Sunday as a different day, being in church, being with God's people, caring for others, giving time to prayer, to worship, to acts of kindness. Now, I think that is a huge impact on the world, and fighting for Sunday in the public arena is something we also ought to do. Our great aim should be to keep the Sabbath holy. Works of necessity and mercy should be done and done well, but we mustn't give in to idleness and pleasure seeking, or the world will just say, well, you're just like us, and you have nothing to say to us. That would be contrary to the example of Christ and a sin against a plain commandment of God, and we must beware. So let's remember two things. The Lord Jesus does not do away with the Sabbath, and he shows us that any need, any mercy should be done on the Sabbath. And we ask our Father in heaven to remind us and encourage us to hear what the Lord Jesus is saying. In his name we pray. Amen.